Hi, this is Nicole Hemsoth, editor of HPC Wire, here with today's edition of Soundbite, our daily interview series featuring researchers, thought leaders, and newsmakers in the world of high-performance computing. Today we'll be talking about resource usage measurement and analysis for HPC systems with Dr. Thomas Furlani, who is the director for the Center for Computational Research at the State University of New York at Buffalo. We'll talk today about the complexities of managing and analyzing cluster utilization in the context of his role in an open source project that's been tested across numerous systems at the Texas Advanced Computing Center. Dr. Furlani, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you for having me, Nicole.
So if you could lay the groundwork for the problems in system use, measurement, and analysis your research seeks to solve.
Okay, this kind of has two components to it. This whole project got started with my role initially as a center director for the Center for Computational Research, and I would oftentimes have our senior leadership ask us simple questions like who's using the machine, what departments are using them, what PIs are using them, and believe it or not, it took us a while to get those answers because we had log files. I'd have to ask somebody to go ahead and shred the log files, ingest them, and then tell me, you know, who the users are, what department, and then manually go in and say what departments they work for, what colleges in the university they work for, and then provide all that information to the provost or to the president. And sometimes it took a couple of weeks to get that information back to them. And, you know, at one point I said, this is crazy. We're providing a really useful service. We do a really good job at it. And it should be transparent, not only to me, but to the president and the provost. And so we had a new system administrator slash programmer, and I said, look, can you write me a simple interface that just takes the log files? When somebody submits a job, a log file is created, that takes those log files on a daily basis, ingests them, and then breaks them down by what is the job size, who is the PI, what department do they belong to, so that I can bring up a browser, and if somebody asks me, I can tell them the utilization of the machine in terms of number of jobs, in terms of job size over the past month, the past year, the past 3 months, or I can give somebody else access to that browser. And so anyway, this person developed a system, which at the time we called UB Metrics on Demand, UBMOD, and it was way more than I envisioned it would be. It would do all the things I just mentioned, and at that point, I showed it to the provost, and I said, here, if you ever want to know who's using our machine, we gave you an account, you can look at all this useful information. And the interesting thing is he never once asked me again for the information, and it's because it was transparent and readily available that he didn't have to ask me to go ahead and generate that information for him anymore. And so anyway, that started just as a relatively simple project, and it turned out about 5 years later, the National Science Foundation had a solicitation. And the solicitation was to provide technology audit service for all of the XSEED resources. Basically, they wanted what UB Metrics on Demand did for the Center for Computational Research. They wanted to have the same sort of capability for all of the XSEED resources so that they could bring up the people funding it, or perhaps the center directors or the people managing XSEED could bring up and say, who's using the machine? What are the job sizes on the various machines? What type of research are they doing, what field of science? And so we developed something called XD Metrics on Demand, for Extreme Data Metrics on Demand. And it's a open source package. Currently it runs on all the XSEED resources, and it collects information from them. So the NSF program directors or the XSEED managers or pretty much anybody can go in there and look at the utilization of the machine. So that was the genesis of the project. And then while we started that project, we found out that while it was really nice to know what the utilization of the machines were, we really couldn't tell what applications were running on the machines, how well the machines were performing. And this is true of most high-performance computing centers, believe it or not. So if you go to a high-performance computing center director and you ask them, you know, what are the 10 most widely used applications running on your center, on your machines? Most of them probably couldn't tell you because people submit jobs, the jobs run on the machines, but we don't keep track of that information typically. And so the second part of this effort for XD Metrics on Demand was to do performance measuring of the applications running on the machines. We want to know, first of all, are the resources being well utilized? For example, are users running on nodes that have 16 cores but only using two or three of the cores? How efficiently are the particular nodes being utilized? How efficiently are the applications running on the machines? using the available memory on not only the nodes but on the entire machine. Memory is an expensive part of these large clusters. And what is the job distribution? Are they using, 90% of the available memory? Are they using 20% of the available memory? We actually found out that analyzing, the data here at our own center as well as the data at TAC, that the majority of jobs use about 20% of the available memory. So when you're designing a new system, you might say, well, that's useful information to have because maybe I can add more compute nodes and a little less memory, and I'll still be able to satisfy the same user base. So that's my long-winded introduction as to how we got started in this particular project.
No, that's very interesting. Also, just out of curiosity, what was Exceed or maybe some other programs you know of, what were they using before to monitor and track activity? Or did they have maybe something built into the scheduler that reported back? How was it managed before?
Well, each one kind of has their own sort of systems. There was no unified system to do that. So, for example, when Exceed wanted to put together a quarterly report, each one of the service providers would provide the data kind of in their own format using their own kind of homegrown tools. Some of these, most of them are all open source. And then Exceed would say, oh, geez, we have to get them in the same format. We have to now go back to the service providers and tell them, well, you provided us this data, but we really need this data in this particular format. We need usage metrics along these lines. And with XDMod, we actually created the templates for the service providers. So with XDMod, they simply now open up XDMod. They click on, I want to generate a quarterly report. I want to generate it for my particular resource. And then XDMod generates all the usage data that NSF wants in the format that Exceed has determined it would be in. So in some sense, some of this capability did exist, but it was many centers were running their own different programs. They were all felt that was the one that was most ideally suited to their particular environment. And this unified it. But in addition, the resource providers will tell you when it came time to generate those quarterly reports, since there was a lot of massaging to the data that had to be done, they ended up having somebody spend on the order of 2 weeks working solidly just to generate those plots that would go into the report. XDMod has completely freed that up. That person doesn't have to do anything other than click a button, and the plots are generated as a Word file or as a PDF or whatever format they would like. So it's actually reduced the FTE requirement to generate them for the Exceed resource providers. So that's been beneficial.
Sure, that sounds very useful. Let's put this in broader context. I like the point about how this is being used for system design in the future, saying, okay, we're only using 20% of our memory, yet we're looking at these big memory, deep memory boxes for future systems. Maybe that's not a good idea. Can we talk about some of the other uses of this data? How else is this being put into practice?
I'll give you a couple, and this is a little bit where we're headed in the future with it. Right now we look at usage data. That's pretty straightforward, and other places could do that. But through TaxStats, which is a program developed by the University of Texas, Jim Brown, and then it's been refined over the years by the Texas Advanced Computing Center, TAC. It's a joint project that we have going on with the University of Buffalo and TAC and the University of Texas. And there, TaxStats collects performance data at the node level, for every node in the cluster. So it keeps, and it's a computationally lightweight, which is important. You don't have to recompile your code. You don't have to do anything. It looks at the hardware counters on the nodes, and it keeps track of the flops. It keeps track of the I/O bandwidth, the disk cache, pretty much every performance metric that you would want to know, you'd want measurements on, it keeps track of. And what we do now is on Stampede and Lone Star 4 and also at Buffalo's High Performance Computer Center, we're running this now. And so what we can do is tell you for every job that runs on the cluster what its performance characteristics are. And this is really valuable because this isn't being done at most centers. And the reason it's valuable is because we can look at the characteristics of a given application and know how well it's performing. There's, for example, in the molecular dynamics world, there's many different packages. There's CHARM, GROMAX, a bunch of others. They don't all operate as efficiently. And so you might find out based on this data that, I'll just take an example, maybe GROMAX runs NAMD runs very, very efficiently relative to some of the other packages. So then you might point the research scientist to say, hey, you know what, you're going to get about, you know, 50% better throughput, better efficiency if you use this code versus that code, and you'll get the same answers. And so already these systems are oversubscribed, so that means that there's not enough CPU cycles available for all the research that wants to be done. And so anytime you gain even a 10 or 15% efficiency, that's a huge improvement in terms of overall throughput. So not only can we look at the performance of particular applications, we can look at the characteristics of particular users. And for example, I'll give you an example at our center. So we looked at the utilization of at our center, and we looked at kind of poorly performing jobs. And we found out there were some users that were using codes that were compiled by their previous graduate students, and they thought they were running in they were compiled to run in parallel. Well, they would ask for a node. The node has 16 cores on, and they were figured they were running on all 16 cores. And what we found out that in some cases the code wasn't even built to run in parallel. They were running on one core, thinking they were running on all 16 cores. And so this happens. I'm sure this happens all the time at all the high performance computing centers across the country, because most of them don't have the capability to make these types of detailed performance characteristic measurements. And so we think it's going to, and it's going to be all open source. And we're already working with some data sites to run this software. Again, so the center director, from my point of view, my hat as a center director, I want to know how I can maximize the throughput for my researchers. And if we can identify codes that run a lot and run pretty inefficiently and make them run more efficiently, then it's better for that researcher, but it's also better for all the other researchers.
Mm-hmm. And do you think, I think you've hinted at this in a few ways, but do you think most users are going to find more surprises than confirmation of expectations about performance using this tool? Are there just, is it like one surprise after another? Like, wow, we thought this was running really well, and it never did. What's the level of surprise here?
I think it'll be really high because, you know, I was a graduate student, and what I was primarily focused was getting my calculations done. And so if I'm a student and you give me 32 processors and my code runs, say it runs in 100 seconds on 32 processors, and I say, well, it'll run faster on 64 processor, maybe instead of running in 100 seconds, this is just an example, it runs in 90 seconds. Well, that's a pretty poor utilization to go from 16 processors to 32 processors and only get a 10% reduction because you're tying up twice the number of processors. But from the graduate student's perspective, the job ran a little faster, right? So from his perspective, hey, I got an answer quicker. But from the center director's perspective and from the personnel that run the center, that's a terrible use of the resource. And so we can identify those sorts of things. And I'm not saying graduate students or the people on the machines are doing that intentionally, but all they know is, hey, it ran a little faster. They don't do the detailed scaling studies. We'll be able to look at the codes and say, okay, this is the sweet spot for this particular application. And then we'll go talk to the faculty member and the graduate student or the postdoc and say, look, these are the types of, this is the ideal size of the number of processors to run for your particular calculation. And you'll actually get good throughput, and you'll actually get a faster turnaround time because more of your jobs will cycle through because you're not doubling the number of processors for a 10% gain in the turnaround time. And so, yes, and again, there's lots of graduate students who inherited their programs from the previous graduate students, and you know what? The architectures change. And so you have a code that was built on a older architecture. They're just taking the executables. It'll still run, but it can be rebuilt and tuned for the new architecture. And so we're just at the cusp of rolling this out on our own production cluster. We just did some preliminary things, and we expect to see some surprising results and some results that will allow us to really increase the throughput of our machine for the benefit of the users.
That's fascinating and very useful. I can't help but wonder what it would be like to take a look at some of these results. What about access to this data? I know it's an open source project, but are the results locked behind a firewall? Is this something that for certain centers you can hop in and view to get a sense of application performance on one cluster or another, or architecture or another?
Well, two things. One, in terms of the XSEED, we struggled with this question early on. So in terms of usage of the XSEED resources, that is all open source. And so you can go to, if you Google XDMod and it comes up, you'll see a site. You can click on that, And we have a public-facing part of XDMod that allows anyone to look at the utilization of the machine in terms of what is the average job size, what is the distribution of jobs in terms of number of processors, what are the institutions in terms of total usage. So there's quite a bit of information available to the public because after all, they're public resources funded with public funds. In terms of the performance data, that we still haven't tackled that yet. Certain applications you have to be careful. For example, commercial applications, I can think of a couple, I won't name them, but they preclude you from publishing performance data of their application in the license agreement. So we have to be very careful to anonymize some of that data when we present it. But it's so there will still be some question as to what we make available to the general public. My feeling is we should make as much available as possible. But also, we intend to expose this data anonymously behind the scenes to researchers in computer science because there's a lot of valuable information that they'll gain, they'll be able to do research on. For example, just the research on queuing systems. When you submit a job to a queuing system, you know, when it runs, when it's eligible to run, how long it takes to run. There's people that spend their lives designing queuing systems and trying to optimize the throughput of jobs through a machine, but they lack data on large machines. And so through XDMod, we're going to create an API that will anonymize the data and allow them to download this data on basically all the jobs that were run, when they were eligible to run, how long they were, how many processors, and when they actually run, so they can actually run their algorithms against this data to see if their algorithm performs better than the data that we have there. So we want to make as much available to the public as possible, and we think there will be a lot of interesting computer science type research that will come out of the data we make available through this.
Absolutely. This is fascinating research. Dr. Furlani, thanks so much for taking time today to share this with us. We'll provide a link to the project on the website for anyone who's curious, and we'll stay tuned with what's happening.
And if I could just add that there's the open source version of XDMod. It's available for download. If you just Google XDMod, it'll take you to SourceForge, and you can download it and install it at your center and run it.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for taking time today, and thanks all of you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow.